We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McHale. Scott?
Good morning.
Now, Brett, you're running for mayor of Providence. Providence faces this kind of chicken and egg situation where the city has among the highest commercial tax rates in the country, and that precludes more development and from coming here. But at the same time, the city needs a broader tax base to be able to lower those taxes. What would you do about that?
I think there's a variety of ways we need to approach this problem. And the first is to realize that what makes Providence unique and attractive is our hospitals, our colleges, our universities, and the cultural amenities that we have here, many of which are tax exempt. But the benefit to those institutions when new jobs are created, when sales tax is generated, accrues to the state. So we need to work with the state to share the benefits in order to make incentives available to new business. We also need to continue to use all the tools in a mayor's toolbox, including tax treaties and tax incentives, but we need to do them in a way such that they are equitably distributed and totally transparent.
What would you do about the vacant Superman building and more broadly to create more residential capacity where there seems to be a lot of demand for it downtown?
So the Superman building is a priority. It's a beautiful building. It's an iconic structure on our skyline and would be my priority. I think the proactive work that a mayor does to attract business to the city, the Superman building should and will be top of mind. In terms of tax credits,
what specifically would you do?
I would be scouring the country for an appropriate tenant for that space. In terms of tax credits and treaties and things like that, I think the Superman building needs to fall into the same system that any other development is eligible for, one that's open and transparent and equitably distributed. I think there's been a belief for a long time by many that the neighborhoods have been subsidizing downtown. We need both downtown and the neighborhoods to grow and thrive together, and that means no special breaks for a building such as the Superman building in terms of a tax break.
Let's go to Scott.
What do you think about some of the tax treaties they've done out there? I'm looking at the Providence Place Mall. That seems to be very successful, and yet the Providence taxpayers are still subsidizing it.
I think that this gets to a bigger issue, which is that there's still a perception that Providence is a place where you need to know a guy, and that everyone has a special deal, that nobody quite knows what someone else's deal is.
Well, no, the mall thing was done very transparently. It was done by the council. It had a lot of media focus. It's just, you know, a 17-year deal.
I understand that, but I think that the challenge with our tax treaties is that they are not equal and fairly applied. And so the mayor, and if I were mayor, would need to have an open negotiation so that the taxpayers see that the long-term benefit is worth the subsidy. When one person gets a tax treaty, the rest of us are paying for that. And so there needs to be a clear economic benefit to the city.
Improving Providence's schools is one of the toughest issues facing any mayor of Providence. What would you do to bring about improvement in the city's schools?
You know, the reality is our schools need everything. We need more effective teachers. We need stronger and more effective principals. We need better facilities. We need more arts programming. We need more sports. They need everything. What we need is a mayor with a lasting commitment, with high standards, who demands accountability, and holds people accountable.
Let me stop you there, though. You've worked with David Cicilline and Angel Taveras. Certainly, they would have liked to have seen more improvements in education. What would you do differently that would yield more progress?
What I will do is stand up for the superintendent, for principals and teachers who are the ones that are putting the students first.
How about high-stakes testing? Should there be these graduation requirements? If you say you're going to set high standards, the testing, what do you think?
I support testing as a way to track achievement and to evaluate teachers, but not as the sole way to peg it to graduation or to teacher evaluation.
How about a large part of graduation?
I think
Massachusetts has been doing this for years, and now people up there just say it's the new normal. Why can't Rhode Island do this?
I think testing is an important piece of the puzzle, and intend to have it as part of my policy. We're currently faced with the kneecap test, which is a bad test and the wrong test. And so once we get...
Why is that the wrong test?
Because there are serious flaws in the actual test, and we already know that it's being phased out. And so once we find the right test, it's an important piece of the puzzle.
We're talking here with Providence mayoral candidate Brett Smiley. Brett, you're one of three people who are preparing to run for mayor along with City Council President Michael Solomon and law school professor Jorge Alorza. If House Speaker Gordon Fox gets into the race, will you still stay in?
The only person that prevents me from running is Angel Taveras.
And who else do you expect to get into the race? Do you think John Lombardi, Buddy Cianci, others will get in?
I don't know. It's up for everyone to make their own decision. My job is to go introduce myself to the rest of the city. For a lot of people, this is the first time they're meeting me, and it's a great time for me to get out there, tell them about my experience, my vision for the future of the city, regardless of who else is in this race.
Give us the 30-second bio on who is Brett Smiley.
Brett Smiley is someone who chose to live in Providence, who lived around the country and settled down here because my stops gave me the perspective to know that we have something truly special here, a quality of life that doesn't exist elsewhere. And after years of tax increases and budget cuts, that quality of life is at risk. And I'm someone who has worked with the last two administrations, who can hit the ground running, and who knows what it's going to take to grow our economy, make our streets safer, and fix our schools.
I see nothing in your background that would indicate that you are qualified to administer a $600 million budget, more than that, actually, that the city has. Tell me why I shouldn't believe that.
Having worked closely with the last two mayors, I think I actually have a very clear idea of what the job of mayor is. I know what I'm getting into, and I'm absolutely up for it.
Now, I'm asking, what in your background, either in the private sector or the public sector, makes you qualified to administer such a large budget and such a complicated organization with thousands of employees?
From my experience growing my own small business to representing the city at the State House, which has a major impact on our city's budget, I have the both micro and macro view on how to run this organization.
Providence Police are adjusting to a time in which they have fewer resources and fewer officers to deal with crime in Rhode Island's largest city. What would your policies be as trying to manage the approach to crime in Providence?
It's been a real challenge. It has felt like a very unsafe summer, and a lot of that is a result of the reductions in the police force, which is a question of resources. And so first and most importantly is getting more cops on the beat. There's no substitute for more police officers, and the way in that's going to happen is for outside resources, partnerships, competitive grants, and bringing resources to the table. The other thing that we can do is partner with neighborhood organizations like the Institute for Nonviolence and other great community groups that are doing work that makes our neighborhood safer. That's an alternative to policing.
Was it smart for Providence to rescind the residency rules for city employees? People still debate that.
People do still debate it, and I understand the argument about it being important to be able to attract top talent. I will say, though, it's important to me. My own personal value is I think I'm going to be a good mayor because I walk these streets every day. I'm an avid runner. I run every day. I ride my bike off, and I see potholes. I see broken streetlights. I see things that I want to fix to make our life in our city a little bit better. And I would expect my senior staff and members of the administration to also live in the city so that they can come to work with those same experiences and committed to making a better city.
We know former Mayor David Cicilline is obviously a congressman now. Is he supporting your campaign for mayor?
I am proud to have worked for David and would hope to earn his support. He has been very supportive, but has not made a formal endorsement.
Is the Cicilline administration responsible for the $110 million deficit that Angel Taveras inherited in 2011?
I think Congressman Cicilline has addressed that topic ad nauseum.
And what do you think?
I think that he regrets the way he talked about it. I think that he recognizes that the budget was left in tough shape. I think the source of that was primarily cuts to state aid from former Governor Don Cachieri, which gets us back to this notion that the city and the state have to work together for its success. And as the state comes out of its recession, we need to make sure in the city that we're getting our fair share of state aid so that we can grow and thrive together.
A great asset the city has is Roger Williams Park, and yet we look at the way it's been neglected over the years. For instance, those ponds down there are beautiful, but they're polluted. How are we going to address that problem?
There are no shortage. It's not just Roger Williams. Many of our parks, what we spend on park maintenance is a fraction of what we should spend. This is part of what makes it great to live in a city because of these great cultural and other natural amenities that we have to offer. The solution to keeping our parks in better shape is the same as our solution to many other city services that have been cut over the last several years, which is partnerships. We need to be working in partnership with other community organizations, with other community groups who can help do the work and share the burden because we are not currently able to perform afford a level of city services that we all demand.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Candidate for the mayor of Providence, Brett Smiley, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.